welcome to the Christian Author Show. From fiction to enlightenment, we offer you all forms of faith-inspired books. So sit back and relax. Here's your host, Danielle Hampson.
Get ready for a trip in the wilderness and an encounter with God's hand protecting an unusual woman. Welcome to the Christian Author Show. I'm Danielle Hampson. Today's author is nothing short of extraordinary. Her name is Rebecca Ondov, and she wrote Horse Tales from Heaven, Reflections Along the Trail with God. Listen to her tale. It is fascinating. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
For 15 years, Rebecca rode her horse through the Bob Marshall Wilderness Complex of Montana from May through December each year. 13 years of that, she led groups of people on horseback, packing their gear on mules, through miles of rugged, winding trails. She also rode for the U.S. Forest Service as the wilderness ranger for the Scapegoat Wilderness. With her German Shepherd trotting alongside, she roamed thousands of miles of mountain trails alone, pulling her pack mule behind her. Oftentimes, on the 10-day hitches, she never saw another soul. Now, through the years, Rebecca developed a unique outlook on life. Each day proved simple. Either she lived or she died. And most of the time, all she had to fix precarious situations were her wits and God. And God always turned out to be her best bet. Rebecca, your book chronicles your adventures working from the saddle in the Bob Marshall Wilderness in Montana, but you actually were raised in Austin in Minnesota. What got you to Montana?
My love of horses. I think I was born with the first words on my lips after Mom and Dad must have been horse. And my passion for horses brought me out here.
So you went from Minnesota to Montana, but obviously you probably did it the right way. You probably got yourself a job. So what was your first job in Montana?
Well, actually, what happened is I moved to Montana with no job. I was crazy and wild and 20-some years old.
Ooh.
And my brother was already living out here. And I asked him if I could crash on his floor until I found a job, and he said that was fine. So I wasn't really worried about the money thing, like you normally aren't when you're in your 20s. And I scouted around for a job, but there weren't very many jobs available in Missoula, Montana at that time because the college kids had the job. And everybody kept on saying, oh, just wait and come back when the college kids are gone. Well, I didn't want to wait. I wanted to work. I wanted to get some cash flow. And I actually stopped by a saddle maker's shop, and he had a friend who had 19 wild mules and one wild horse, and they all need to be gentled. And I had experience with horses before, and so I got that job. What a crazy job. I had never done anything like that before.
You had experience with the horses, but what about the mules? Is it different to handle those compared to horses?
It's totally different, and I didn't think it would be. I thought, well, gosh, I've worked with horses. It can't be that much different. But I got kicked and bit and stomped into the mud every single day. And those horses taught me how to talk mule in about a week. I figured out that they were a totally different animal. And from then on, I just started listening to what they were telling me. They were afraid, and they didn't want to be pushed up beyond a certain distance. And I learned so much about training. It was incredible.
Well, wait a second. We know of the horse whisperer. Are you telling me you're the mule whisperer?
Well, I would love to claim that title, but I'm afraid there are a lot of people in the world with a lot more experience than myself. But I enjoy them so much. It's incredible. And yes, they do actually talk to me through their body language, and I answer them with body language. So maybe a little bit of the whispers in there.
Now, with no experience whatsoever, how the heck did you get a job working in the wilderness, of all places?
Well, the mules and the horse that I gentled belonged to a man who had an outfitting business. And so he would take guests by horseback trips into the wilderness for 7 days or 10 days, however long the trip was, and they pack all the gear on the mules, and away they go, and they don't come back out again until the trip's over. Well, I was gentling these mules for him, and he had his whole crew hired already, and then my job was over. Well, the day before the trip went into the mountains, his cook quit.
Mm.
And just like the mules, I had never cooked much. I had done a couple meals on an electric stove at home and been on a couple camping trips, but I had no experience. And all he needed was somebody who would just try, because he had other guys that would help fill in, but he needed a designated cook. And so guess who became the cook? Me.
You know, you started to sound more and more like a heroine in a John Wayne movie.
You know, when I was a kid, my favorite movie was Annie Get Your Gun.
Okay.
And I don't know if you ever saw it or not,
yes,
but one of the things that her favorite song was, anything you can do, I can do better. that was me.
All right, she's alive and well in you. Great. Now, obviously, since you spent a lot of time there, the Bob Marshall Wilderness is very important to you. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
The Bob Marshall Wilderness is 1.5 acres that has never been developed. It's never had a road through it. It's never been civilized. The closest thing that happened to any kind of civilization back there is there were some families that took cattle back there and tried to ranch, and they weren't able to make it. And so those ranches died down. So occasionally you'll find the remainders of maybe an old wooden fence line or something back there. But you can ride for several days on end and never cross a road and never cross a fence. And the northern edge of the Bob Marshall Wilderness Complex joins Glacier National Park.
1.5 acres, you said, right?
Yes.
That's a lot of property.
It is.
Have you ridden it all?
No, I wish I could say that I have, but it would take my whole life to do that.
Since we're talking about riding for days on, what is a horseback trip?
A horseback trip is very much like a backpack trip, except you pack all your gear on horses and mules. So when we leave the trailhead, the only thing a guest has to do is mount their horse. They put their slicker on the back of the saddle. They put their lunch in the saddlebags, and the horse will take them. And the wonderful thing about it is when you're backpacking, you get so exhausted, and pretty soon you're looking at your feet, and all you can think about is taking the next step forward. But when you're on a horse, you're just relaxed, and you get a look around at the scenery, and you never get your feet wet because the horses are the ones that cross the rivers, and you never have to climb a hill because the horses do the work. And if you want to get off and walk, all you have to carry is the reins.
You know, the more I listen to you, the more you sound like coming really straight out of a movie. I mean, I cannot believe that people like you still exist today. Is that very common, or are you an unusual person?
There are not very many of us. There are quite a few outfitters, but not all of them do quite what I did. They don't do the roving trips so much anymore. That's kind of becoming a lost art. So I guess it is a very novel thing, and the novel thing is there aren't very many girls that do it.
Now, on those horseback trips, what was a normal day like on any of those trips, whether it be the summer or the winter? Or do you do that in the wintertime, by the way?
Yes, they run fall hunting trips. So the summer trips usually start at the end of June, and any month of the year you can get snow up in the mountains in the high country, as long as you're up in the peaks. But a normal day, you would wake up in your tent, and you would go and have breakfast, and it's, of course, wonderful food because the mules and horses get to carry it all. So you have everything from, in the breakfast, your sausage, bacon, and eggs type stuff to sandwiches at lunch and then steaks for dinner with salads, which is wonderful. But you get up and you have your coffee and you go sit out in the meadow and you get to just listen to all of the animals or watch the deer or watch the hawks fly. It's absolutely fabulous. And then when you finish your breakfast, you pack up camp, put it all on the mules, and you ride down the trail.
Now, what's the purpose of the trip to begin with?
The purpose is to be able to see what it's like back in the mountains where nothing has been, what would you say, civilized in any way.
Can you share with us what the fall season is like over there?
The fall season, we actually go and stay in a stationary place, and we set up wall tents, which are like the MASH. If you ever saw MASH on TV, those
sure.
big wall tents
sure.
that they lived in,
mm-hmm.
and you live in those tents. And so that's your base camp, and then you ride your horses out from there, which is wonderful because in the fall, the snow starts coming. And there were many times when I left hunting camp, and it would be right around the 1st of December, and we were bucking snow as deep as the horse's chest getting out.
Now, you've been doing this for 15 years, correct?
I did that for 15 years.
What intrigued you to stay working in the wilderness for all those years?
Well, mainly because it's my passion to bring people to a place where they have a more intimate relationship with God. And I don't think there's a better place to do it than in the wilderness. And just, it was an honor to be able to take people from the city who had never seen the stars at night because the lights of the city are too bright. And you take them out in the wilderness, and it might be a moonless night, and you can actually see the whole Milky Way. And they can lay down in the grass and just see the things that God created. And it is the most moving experience that a lot of people have their whole life.
Now, you just mentioned the word God, which a little bit preempts the question that I was about to ask you, and I will ask it, is that you had, when you submitted your request for interview, you submitted it under the Christian Author Show, and I was trying to find out what was the correlation. Why did you decide to really put your book in the Christian category?
The main reason that I wrote it for the Christian category is because I believe that through the power of story, and I could take those people back into the woods with me that I couldn't put in the saddle and bring back physically with me, and they could experience God through the adventures that I'd had. I had many times when God delivered me from death, and I take the people in the book to experience those experiences with me in hopes that they have a relationship with God at the end of the book that's different from their relationship with God at the beginning of the book.
Now, you just mentioned that many times God has delivered you from death. Can you share maybe one or two experiences that you encountered?
Oh, yes, I can. One of the things that was terrifying to face were the grizzly bears. And I don't know if you're familiar with grizzly bears. But
I know they're
big.
They're big
and they're fast. They can outrun the fastest quarter horse in a quarter of a mile.
Are you serious?
Yes. They are able to, they could run alongside your horse, and with their front paw, they could slam your horse in the head and break his neck.
Oh my goodness.
They're incredibly powerful. I don't know how they think, and I don't know anybody who does know how they think. And they can be extremely dangerous. They want their own territory, and if you're infringing on their territory, they will remove you, whether it's through destruction of your property when you're not there, or destruction of you if you are there.
What happened between you and the grizzly bear?
It was my job during the fall season, when the crew would go take the hunters out after a hunt, I would stay in the camp by myself, and it amounted to 4 days that I would be in camp by myself, and it was my job to keep the grizzly bears out of camp. And camp was on a grizzly migration trail, and there were up to a dozen grizzly bears that would take that trail to go to bed in the winter, because they hibernate in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one night, one of the wranglers came in from handling the horses, and he came into the tent, and it had been snowing, and he had snow on his face, and the skin on his face was just as white as the snow. And there were a bunch of hunters in camp, and we were all in the cook tent when he came in, making hee-hawing. But when he came in, there was something about his presence that it disturbed us. And we turned and looked at him, and he said, "There's a big grizzly bear in camp," and I just about ran into him. Well, the trouble with that is when grizzly bears come into camp when there are people there, there's noise going on, so obviously he was not afraid of people. We had lanterns lit in all the tents. It was at night, and obviously that didn't scare him.
Did you have a fire burning as well?
Yes, we all had wood, all of our wood stoves were lit in our tents. That didn't scare him. We had about 35 head of horses and mules in the corral, and that type of movement didn't scare him, so we knew we were in trouble because this was a bear who had no fear of man. So the boys went out and they tracked him, and they discovered that the bear had gone all around camp and checked us all out when we didn't even know it. And then he went into, there's one spot where we dig a hole, and it's where I pour the dishwater, and it's according to Forest Service regulation that this is the way you handle your waste anyway. Mm-hmm. So the dishwater, as we call it, the dishwater pit. The bear had dredged the pit and eaten the scraps of food that were in there, the little bit that was in there. And we knew that because it was a bad berry year and the bear was trying to put on weight before he went to bed for the winter, that he was going to come back because he had found food.
Right.
Well, everybody rode out of camp the next day, and I had the bear to deal with for the next 4 days.
You stayed all by yourself?
Yes.
Why did you do that? Were you supposed to do that?
Yep, that was my job. And so I had a shotgun, and I had my dog with me, which dogs aren't any good really for grizzly bears. I had to keep her tied up. But the important thing was I had a magazine that they brought in. The pack string brings in my mail because I wouldn't go back out. Once I went in the fall, I stayed in until December. So I'd go in September and come out in December. And the pack string would bring my mail in when it would come in to pick up the guests and bring them out. And there was a ministry magazine in there, and there was an article about the power of Psalm 91 and how through all the different world wars, many mothers had gotten together and prayed Psalm 91 over their boys, and not one of them had ever been injured, not one of them had died. And it was the power of Psalm 91. And I read that article, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm in a war with a grizzly bear. And God, if you're that powerful that in war, you can preserve the life of these men when they've got shells flying around them, that's no different than me with this grizzly bear. And so the night, and of course their bears are nocturnal, so that night I built a campfire and I was sitting outside and I got out my Bible and I read Psalm 91 and I said, "And God, I want you to post your angels around camp and keep those grizzly bears out." So of course I didn't really have a lot of faith in what I prayed. I tried, but I really didn't have it developed yet. And I lit lanterns in the tents, and I lit fires in the tents, and I did everything I could to make it look like there were a whole bunch of people still there. And I went to bed. Every time a deer ran through camp and broke a branch or something, I was sitting up with my gun, and I never really got any sleep for 4 days. I was exhausted when the guys rode back in. And when they did ride back in, one of the wranglers came up to me and he said, "Did you see any grizzly bears?" And I said, "Nope, I haven't seen one." And he said, "There are tracks all the way around camp, everywhere.
Goodness.
But you see, God's angels kept those bears, or all the bears out of camp."
You said that you had a number of incidents that happened. Did all these incidents lead you to build your faith?
Yes, they did.
This is a fascinating story. And you know what? This is a story not only for Christians, but for just anybody.
And you know what's so amazing about it? It's it puts God in your everyday life. God is not just somebody who's hanging around in the sky watching things happen down here, but he's intimately involved in our lives. And that's my whole point in the book, is I'm sharing intimate stories of my fellowship with God when I'm in the backcountry.
What is the strongest message that you feel your book conveys to people who are going to be reading it?
That God is real and he loves them.
Where can we find your book, Rebecca?
You can get it off of all the online retailers. You can go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, ChristianBooks.com, your local Christian bookstore, or you can get it off my website. And my name is a little difficult, so the easiest way to get to my website is to go to MontanaHorseGal.com.
Say that again, please.
MontanaHorseGal.com.
Rebecca, it's been an absolute pleasure interviewing you. I am fascinated by your story. By the way, are you still doing all of those adventures?
I do them occasionally. I currently have a regular job that I work in the real world. But every once in a while, I'll disappear into the wilderness. And, of course, during the summer and fall and in the spring, I have a riding area that's 10 minutes from my house, about 10 miles from my house. And I can just bebop over there with the horse and the horse trailer, and I can ride all day long. So it's not quite as adventuresome as going in the wilderness, but it's still my horse time.
Horse Tales from Heaven by Rebecca Ondov. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
That's correct.
Okay, wonderful. Rebecca, thank you very much for being on the program with me today.
Thank you.
What would it be like to work in the mountains from the back of a horse? Well, join Rebecca Ondov as she shares godly wisdom she gleaned along the trail. She invites you to saddle up and ride with her through the pages of her book for an adventure of a lifetime. The title of the book, one more time, is Horse Tales from Heaven by Rebecca Ondov, a book that should be read by absolutely everyone. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are done with today's show. Thank you for listening, and please join me next time with another great Christian author and book on The Christian Author Show. I'm Danielle Hampson, and may God continue to keep you safe and hear your prayers.
Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another great book on The Christian Author Show. To find out more about the show, visit thechristianauthorsshow.com.